And here's my question. I've got one really big question for you. And it's this. What are you waiting for? What is it that you are waiting for? What is it that you're excited about? I think we spend quite a lot of our lives waiting for things. I've got some pictures. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to work out what you think these people are waiting for. Okay, this isn't difficult. Don't panic. Here's the first one. Right, turn to your neighbor. What are they waiting for? Good, well done. Doesn't take that long to take a bus. Okay, here are people waiting for a bus. Some of us have to wait for buses. You stand for a while. If you leave London, you stand for a long while and you think, where are all the buses? Okay, here's another one. What do you think this is waiting for? Food. Now, I have to say, this particular picture breaks my heart. To think of a dog going hungry, it's an awful thing. So here's a dog waiting for their food. And sometimes I'm like that. Sometimes I'm waiting for my food and I'm hungry. You ever been hungry and you're waiting for your food? Okay, one more. Now this one, you're going to have to be imaginative. What do you think this person might be waiting for? And I'm going to ask for some ideas, and I want to see the most creative. What is this child waiting for? Okay. Anyone got any suggestions? What is this person waiting for? Any suggestions? To go and play in the snow. Okay, so maybe waiting for the snow to come. Great. Anything else? For Santa to come. Good. Thank you. Yep. The postman. What did you say? The bin men. Yes. Good. So look, we don't know, but mate. Looking out the window, waiting. We can all understand what it means to wait. There's one more. Here's one more. Here's a farmer waiting for the crops to grow, waiting for the rain to fall, waiting. Planted the crops, waiting. Now, that idea of waiting is what Advent is about. And I want to introduce you to someone today who was waiting. Waiting for a long, long time. I've got a picture of him. This is not actually what he looked like, but this is what ChatGPT said he looked like. So here is, I'm being open and honest, here is a man called Simeon. And in Luke's gospel, we read about this man, Simeon. I'm going to read a little bit more, and then you'll see when I get it, the bit on the screen will appear, but I'm going to read the bit before it. This is Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting. Now, what do you think is the question you want to ask Simeon? What are you waiting for? The big question for today, what are you waiting for? Perhaps he was waiting for snow, unlikely. Perhaps he was waiting for something to arrive. What was Simeon waiting for? Well, the great thing is that the Bible tells us. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. At which point you might go, great, what's that? Well, that's what I want to explain to you. I want to try and explain to you just for a few minutes what it was that Simeon was waiting for. This old man had been waiting for so many years in the temple for something to happen. Now, in order to understand this, we're going to need to understand a bit more of the story of the Bible. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to go up here. Sorry, I need to explain something. Right, up here, I want to show you something. I'm going to put this here, and we're going to start. Okay, so in the beginning of the Bible, God makes a world. Okay, this is the world, and God makes a really beautiful world. So there it is. It's a beautiful world. In fact, it would really help me if you said, it's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world. Now, so God makes a beautiful world, and then he makes people to live in it. Now, in order for this to work well, I bought something that I made. Now, I made this when I was a child. So I have kept this for at least 10 years. And here it is. Can I say, I've been the pastor of this church for 10 years and have kept this in my cupboard and not used it until this moment. This is the dog that I made at school when I was about 13. Beautiful, isn't it? And I made it just the way I wanted it to be. Like, it's only got two legs. And that was just the way I wanted it to be. If I'd wanted it to have more legs, I would have done that. So here's the dog that I made, and I'm going to put him in my beautiful world. And when God made us to be the people he wanted us to be. He was a good creator, and he gave us a wonderful world, and he put us to live in his wonderful world. This is where we were created to be, at home with God. But then things went wrong. And in the Bible, there's a word that I need to explain to you because it will help you to understand what Simeon was waiting for. And it's the word exile. You see, this is home. Exile means to be sent away. So every time I say the word exile, I want you to go away. Exile, away. And human beings, rather than love God and enjoy his garden, instead they chose to love other things. They didn't love God. In fact, they ignored him. They didn't listen to him. They sinned against God. And because of that, God sent them into exile, away. God sent them out of the garden. And the people were sent out of the garden. Right now, I need to come down here. Okay, so I need to come and get my dog. Come on, I should have thought of this. It's more exercise than I thought. Right, yes. I was hoping it would land on the table, but I wasn't that good. So God created this beautiful world where we were to live, but instead of enjoying God's world, we were sent into exile.
Away.
And we were to live away from God. It's a really sad story. Because the world without God is a world of death and a world of sadness and a world of pain. It's a bad world. It's a sad world. It's a hard world. And so we live in exile. Come on. But God's great promise was that there would be a time when he would take those in exile and he would bring them home. A time when he would rescue them. A time when God would save his people. Now, this pattern, if we have the next thing up, this pattern is what the Bible calls comfort. To those in exile, God comes to them and says, comfort, comfort, I will rescue you. I will come to you and I will bring you back. I will take you home to be with me. That is the great promise. And so what you have in the Bible is over and over again, you see this story of people being sent into exile and then God comforting them and bringing them back. And then they sin and they're sent into exile. And then God comforts them and brings them back. But the problem is that this cycle goes on. And there's a bigger promise that God says, one day I will come and I will put everything right. and I will take you home. It's a beautiful story. So what was Simeon waiting for? He was waiting for the comfort of Israel. God's people who had been sent into exile and were waiting for God to come and rescue them. Simeon is in the temple going, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Simeon was thinking about it. He was excited about it as he thought about that day when God would bring them home. Can you imagine Simeon waiting? This is the great story of the Bible. And all the way through the first part of the Bible, the people are waiting and waiting and waiting for God. They're saying, God, when will you come? How long? When will you come? When will you come and bring us home? And then Simeon saw a little baby called Jesus, and he said, this is it. This is the moment. This is the end of the exile. Oh, almost. This is the moment. In fact, Simeon says this when he sees the baby Jesus. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. It's beautiful, right? He takes the baby in his arms. So he's carrying the baby in his arms. And he says these words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon says, this baby is the one who's going to bring everybody home. Now, how is that? Well, it's because this baby, right, this is the amazing thing about Christmas. It's because this baby, I'm going to go this way this time, right? So this baby is the God who created the universe, who set up the God, who made all things, who made us, the God who's all in all, the God who's eternal, the God who made everything. It's this God who came in person and was born as a tiny little baby in a manger in Bethlehem at Christmas. That God come into this world. That's mad. It's amazing. It's the most glorious news the world has ever heard. And Simeon saw it and said, I've waited my whole life for this. Isn't that beautiful? I've waited my whole life for this. And you may say to me, okay, but so, are we not waiting anymore? Well, here's how the story continues. Jesus has come into this world. He's come to be with us in this exile world. He's come to live with us. In fact, Jesus even went to die on a cross where Jesus was sent into exile, away from God. He took the punishment for my sin. I deserve to be sent away, but Jesus instead took my exile on himself so that I could be welcomed in. But we are still waiting. We're still waiting for the day when Jesus will come again. Because this world is still a world of brokenness. It's still a world of sadness. Not everything has yet been put right. Jesus has come once to deal with our exile, and he will come again to put all things right. But here's the really cool thing. No, I'll tell you that in a minute. What I want to do is I want to now think about, okay, how do you learn to wait? How do you wait skillfully? Some of you in this room have got great skills. What is your greatest skill? Turn to the person next to you and say, what is your greatest skill? Tell them your greatest skill. Great. Lovely. Very skillful. Okay. I want to suggest that none of you said, my greatest skill is waiting. But I want to suggest to you that it is something we all need to learn how to do. We need this Advent to learn how to wait better. So I'm going to take this idea of waiting and think of Simeon. I'm going to think, what does Simeon teach us about what it means to wait for that moment when all things will be put right? We're going to see some great stuff, so hold on as we go for this. Firstly, it means being expectant. If you are waiting for something, you are expectant for it. You think about it a lot. You daydream about it. So when I ask you the question, what are you waiting for? What I want you to think in your hearts is, what is the thing that brings you the greatest joy? What is the thing that you're saying, I can't wait for that. I want that. I'm excited about that. I'm living for that. Because the sad thing is that for many of us, the things that we are waiting for are not the God who made us, but it's a holiday. It's a job. It's an exciting experience. And these things can be the things that we think, that will, if I can just get that, then I will be happy. If I could just get that, then I will be satisfied. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting until I can get that. But you need to understand, you were created by God, not for the next lovely holiday, not for promotion, not for an outstanding salary, not for a comfortable life. You were created by God for Him, to find your life in Him, to be loved by Him. And there is no one else who will love you in a way that will satisfy you. There is no one else who can fulfill your heart's deepest longings because you were created for God. And so this afternoon, I want to ask you, how much does your heart long for that relationship with God? Look, get this right. This Christmas, this is how much God has done for you. He left the glory of heaven to come into this exile world, this world of sadness and death and sin. He came into this world because He so loved you. Because He did not want you to experience an eternity of exile. He wanted you to experience His precious life-giving love. He loved you that much. He came from heaven for you. For any who will come to Him. He loves you that much. And yet we find ourselves saying, actually, no, I'm waiting for this holiday. I'm waiting for this thing. I think I just want this. This is what will make me happy. This perfect job, this perfect relationship, this perfect, that's what I need. That's what will make me happy. And all the time, God is saying, it's me. You were made for God. Simeon knew that. Simeon was excited. Simeon was expectant. Simeon was saying, I just want that. And he waited the whole of his life for it. Are you expectant? Are you expectant this Christmas, that maybe even this Christmas, as you celebrate Jesus, God might reignite a fire of love in your heart for Him? Is your heart grown cold? Maybe you're here, you've never really turned to Jesus at all. But this afternoon, would you turn to Him and be expectant? Be expectant, that's what it means to wait. If we're going to be skillful waiters, we need to be and learn to be expectant. I'm going to ask Flora to come up. And Flora's going to come and pray for us before we learn our other two words. And Flora's going to help us to pray in response to what we're doing. So let's pray together.
Amazing. So if you just want to close your eyes, maybe bow your head if you like to. Father in heaven, we pray that you would make us people who are excited and expectant. We thank you, Lord, that you give us lots of gifts on earth that we can be excited about. Celebrations, times of rest and of fun. And we're so sorry, Father, that sometimes we're more excited about those things than we are about Jesus. Help us to be most excited about Jesus. In Luke, Jesus tells a story of servants waiting for their master. And he says, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open their door for him. Lord, we pray you would make us people who wait expectantly, knowing that you will come. We pray you will make us excited as we wait. Keep the lamps of our hearts burning as we wait. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Flora. So we're going to be expectant, right? We're going to ask that God to help us to be expectant this Christmas. Here's the second thing. If we're going to learn to wait, we need to be patient. Patient. I'm going to show you three pictures. I want you to decide which one of these three things I waited longest for. All right? Here are the three things. This is the first thing. This is a Smiler at Thorpe Park. No, Alton Towers. No, this is Swarm at Thorpe Park. This is my favorite ride. This is Swarm at Thorpe Park. Okay? Here's the second one. This is waiting for a friend who said they'd meet me for coffee. Okay? This is the third one. This was when I had the opportunity to meet Buzz Lightyear. And I had to queue to meet him. I wonder, which of those three do you think was the longest? Which would I wait the longest for? Buzz Lightyear. Yes, that's probably true. I was very excited to meet Buzz. It was actually Swarm. So you go to a theme park, you wait for 2 hours in a queue. You start the queue and it says it's going to be 2 hours. You go, 2 hours, okay, fine, I'll do that. What are we doing? 2 hours. That basically means in like an 8-hour day, you can go on 4 rides. It's like completely mad. But we have fun, don't we? Unless you get one of those fast pass things. Don't ever do that. That's really unfair on everybody else. It's not kind to the poor type parents who won't pay for their kids to get a fast pass. But Dad, how come they... Shh, don't ask questions, son. But actually, we need to learn patience. Because in the Bible, God doesn't act as fast as we might like him to. Simeon was an old man in the temple by the time he got to see Jesus. He'd spent his whole life waiting. Can you imagine, right? Just imagine this. Imagine the week before Jesus was born or appeared in the temple. The week before, Simeon had said, I don't think this is ever going to happen. I think I'll stop waiting. I think I'll go home. Imagine that. Imagine if he'd given up. He would have missed out on seeing the beauty of God's salvation. So I want to say to us, we need to be people who learn to be patient. When you read in the Bible of those who waited, they waited for years and years for the things that God had promised them. When God promised them that he was going to give them a gift, or when God promised them he was going to come and help them. We've been seeing Joseph, right? Joseph, 10 years in prison, waiting for God to show up. If we're going to learn to wait in a world that's hard and bad and sad, in a world of death and exile, if we're going to learn to wait, we're going to have to learn to be patient. And some people, some of us in this room, right now, you may be losing patience with God. You may be at the point of saying, God is not coming through for me. God is not doing what I want him to do. God is not giving me what I want him to give me. God is not showing me what I want him to show me. And God says to you, be patient. Wait on me. Don't give up on him. Imagine if today you decided you were going to stop following Jesus and you missed out on the very thing he had for you. God has a great plan, but we need to learn to be patient. So Flora's going to come again and help us to pray. We're going to pray for our patience. We're going to pray that God would teach us to wait expectantly, excited for Jesus, but also patiently, trusting that he will come in his good time.
Amazing. Yeah, let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would make us patient. Father, we are sorry that often we are not patient. Father, because we now live in a world of quick fixes and next day delivery, we're sorry that sometimes we lose the practice of being patient. Father, instead, we need your help to be the people who can wait patiently. As it says in the book of James, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Lord, please give us patience as we wait next to the bare ground, where it looks like nothing is growing. How amazing it is to see stories in the Bible of people like Simeon who waited so faithfully for you. Thank you, Lord, for those stories. Help us to trust in you like the farmer, even when the ground might look barren and empty. Help us to trust that what you say will come true. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Right, we've got one more. We're doing really well. So we're going to be expectant. We're going to be patient. But here's the third thing. Actually, we'll need to learn to be useful. You see, waiting, when I'm standing in a queue at Thorpe Park waiting for a, it's not very useful. Right? I'm not really doing anything very useful. But in the Bible, when you read about waiting, it's not the waiting of doing nothing. It's the waiting of activity. It's the waiting of being busy. There's work to be getting on with. Now, this is where I need to fill in the whole of the rest of the story, right? So hang on, this is cool. We might expect that here we are in exile, and we might expect that where's this going to go? What's God's great plan? That we are going to go home, back to... I'm never going to land it on there. That we might think that that is where the story's landing. Oh, great, we'll be taken out of exile, and we'll be taken home, and we'll be with God in heaven forever. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that we will be taken home to heaven forever. But the Bible says something even better. So let me go and get... Oh, dear. It's all right. So thank you very much for the warning. It's very exciting. The Bible says something much better. I'm a little stressed now. The Bible says that God's great plan is not... to take us there. Instead, God's great plan is that he will bring heaven to earth. That God's great plan is that he will come and he will transform our sad, bad world and make it beautiful and make it new. And that we will live with him, not in heaven, but on earth. That God will turn this world into his garden of beauty. Which means if that's true, then there's work to be done now. So over here, I've got one more prop over here. Okay, in this bag, right, look, I have got, look, this is a cutting from that plant. And as we now live in this world, as we live as people who know God and are waiting for Jesus and who know that this world is a sad, bad place and it's hard, we get to be people who begin to tell people the good news that God is going to make everything new. Who begin to love the people around us. Who begin to not act in the selfishness that brings death, but instead to act in love that brings life. Jesus taught us to pray. We prayed it earlier in our service. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Our job as we live in this world is to bring the kingdom, is to see the kingdom come as people come to know Jesus and experience his love and his grace and his mercy. We get to plant little bits of the kingdom in this world in advance until one day the Bible says that Jesus will come and Jesus will come into this world. Oh no, I'm going to fight my way around. I should have climbed back up. And the kingdom will come to earth. And all will be made new. And everything will be renewed. And there will be no more exile because everybody will be home. Everybody will be home. There's always one. Which is excellent. It's excellent there's always one. That we will be with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one who will take you. I'm the one through whom you can be part of this new world that God is forming. And so what does Simeon do? Simeon, when he sees the baby Jesus, he doesn't shut his mouth and go, oh, that's nice, I'll just keep it to myself. He speaks it out. I've seen him. This is Jesus. This is the one who's going to make all things new. And Simeon, as he is the first prophet of the new creation, as he declares what God has begun in the coming of Jesus, we get to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be useful. So will we live our lives in this world of exile away, but will we be people who know that God is making this world new. And one day Jesus will come again and he will put all things right and all tears will be wiped away, all death will be finished. But in the meantime, we get to be a little part of it now. Do you want to be a cutting in this world, a cutting of God's kingdom in the world now? What a way to live. What a joy, what a purpose to live your life. That you might sprout other cuttings in order that God might bring all things under Christ. So this is Christmas. This is what we're waiting for. Simeon was waiting for Jesus and Jesus arrived. We're waiting for him to come again and one day he will. But this Advent, will we prepare our hearts? Will we be expectant? Will we be patient? Don't give up on him. And will he be useful? Will you say this Christmas, I want to be a cutting of the kingdom in advance of the whole new creation? So I'm going to, Flora is going to come and lead us in prayer one final time, that we would be useful as we wait for Jesus.
Yeah, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray that we would be useful as we wait. Father, we want to make best use of the time, but not the best use of time for ourselves, but the best use of time for you, God. We want to be busy, but not like the rest of the world is busy. We want to be busy with the things that glorify you and that spread the gospel to more people who don't know you so that they can experience your love and your grace and your mercy. In Colossians, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Father, please help us to pray, to be thankful, and to make the most of the opportunities that you give us. Help us to be a blessing to other people as we wait for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.